some things. Now, I hear all the time, is it worth confronting? Well, if it's error, it's worth confronting. If it's sin, it's worth confronting. It's worth standing for. Amen. And Paul had a decision, and he made that decision. And he's writing to the churches. If you'll notice in chapter 1, verse number 2 of the book of Galatians, the Bible says that he's writing to all the brethren which are with me and to the churches of Galatia. The churches. He's writing to the churches. And he's writing to them because there were a group of people in chapter 1, verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. There were a group of people who had come in that were troubling them, that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word pervert or perverted means twist or twisted. They were twisting the gospel. And they were trying to make the gospel something that it was not in Acts. I'm sorry, did I say Acts? In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 7. They were troubling the believers and they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were saying that it was one thing when God had said, no, we've changed. Now, I want to explain that to you. Dispensational truth is important. Now, there are those who say, that dispensational truth, that confuses people. Well, it's quite the contrary. When, and I want you again to hold your hand here and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, just for a moment, if you would turn there. There is a passage of Scripture that is very, very important as to understanding some of the things that you need to understand as to why God put them where He put them and how He put them, and He did what He did when He did it. It's called dispensation. The word dispensation, don't let that word scare you, it just means a time period. It's a time frame in which God deals with people. He chooses to deal with people in different ways, in different dispensation or time periods of time. And so here in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Now, study is important. Some people, they really, and I'm not saying you, but don't you get this mindset now. I'm not saying that you have this mindset. I'm just saying guard against this mindset. You think, well, you know what? I done got a favor. I read a chapter of the Bible today. Well, I hope you don't look at it that way. If you read a chapter of the Bible, you done a good thing, but I hope that's not all you did for your spirit life, is read a chapter of the Scripture. The Bible says we're to study the Bible. Now, the Bible does say we're to give attendance to reading. And I can't remember, I think it was Pastor Brandon a couple of weeks ago who talked about meditating, how important it was on meditating on the Word of God, letting the Word of God just permeate your heart, thinking on it, digesting spiritually what God has said. Well, here the Bible says study to show thyself, in verse number 15, approved unto God, a workman. You know, God can't use lazy people. Now, you know that, and I know that. And that's not just talking about in the workplace. You know, be a good worker. You ought to be the best worker on your job. It's a good testimony. Don't be a murmurer and a complainer. I know it's not an easy thing, but don't be a murmurer and a complainer. Be a doer. Do the job right. Amen. Have a good testimony for Christ. Now, this workman is talking about the workman in spiritual things. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because Peter said we ought to be ready always to give answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. When people come to you as a Christian, when they find that I'm a believer, and they come to us and they ask us questions, we ought to be able to take the Word of God and a knowledge of the Bible and answer their spiritual questions. We ought not say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know much about the Bible. In case you've been saved just a short while, but, you know, we don't want to be like when Paul, he said, you know, some of you, you have need, when he was writing over there to the Hebrews, believers, he said, you have need that someone teach you, and you need to be teachers. Study. It's important to show thyself. Study your Bible. Spend time daily in the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about that. I want you to turn back to the book of Galatians. There was a group of people who were not rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, it was a transitional time. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. There was a transitional time from the dispensation of law to the dispensation of grace. When Jesus came and he sent his disciples out, you can read in Matthew 10 and other passages of the scripture when he sent them out, he sent them out to preach the kingdom message to the Jews. He told them, he said, just go to the house of Israel. But now after Pentecost, when Calvary came, the dispensation of law ended. And after Pentecost, the dispensation of grace began. And so Paul was this apostle that God gave the mystery to. Now, what was the mystery? The mystery is the mystical body. It's the body of Christ. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are. Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, we're a local church. We believe in a local church. So we're a part of the church. We're a local church. We're a part of the church that meets at Fellowship Baptist. Amen. We're a local assembly of called out believers. And God works in local church. You say, well, there's just one church. Well, that's not what Galatians 1 and verse number 2 says. There's one body as it refers to the church. But there's several local churches. Matter of fact, John recorded where Jesus addressed seven of them in the book of the Revelation. Amen. The church, which was at Ephesus, and the church, which was at Sardis and Pergamos, and right on down, you see. So there was a dispensational time change here. And Paul was taking up that baton, and he was shown a mystery. He talked about it, if you'll notice in chapter number 1. Notice what he said. Paul said in verse number 12, for I neither received it. Now, I like this too. I want you to underline that word received. Paul didn't make this up. I'm in chapter 1 of Galatians in verse number 12. This was not something that Paul just came up with. That Paul just, you know, kind of went out on a whim or a limb. He received it. And as he received it, he tells us who he received it from and how he received it. He said in verse number 12, for I received it. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received it, but it was not of man. He received it by revelation. It was the mystery. The mystery that Paul revealed to us, and again, I'm going to ask you to hold your place here, is in the book of Ephesians. If you would turn there to the book of Ephesians just for a moment. In the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us about this mystery. And it's very important that we understand this. The mystery that Paul received, the revelation that Paul received was this. Now, I find it very interesting in the book of Galatians that Paul, when he got saved, he didn't go down into Jerusalem. Remember us talking about that last week. He didn't. He went to Arabia. All right? Went on the backside of a desert there. For how long? 3 years. Isn't that interesting? How long did Jesus' disciples spend with him? About that time, you know. So Paul got some training. Now, Paul wasn't able to get it from Jesus with the disciples. But Paul met up with the Lord. You say, well, now, preacher, you can't prove that. Oh, but I can. Yes. The Bible's very clear, and we'll see in just a moment, that Jesus had told Paul, I'm going to train you because I've got a special mission for you. I've got a special ministry for you. And a special people that I'm going to put under your care that I want you to go to and preach my gospel to. It's going to be a gospel of grace. It's not of the kingdom. We're putting the kingdom on hold. The kingdom's on hold right now. You understand that? God has set aside the nation of Israel. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. God has set aside the nation of Israel. Listen, God has not forsaken them. He has set them aside. He has set them aside. And he is now dealing with the Gentiles. That's you and I. Amen. We're referred to as heathen. You know, you say, well, preacher, we got enough of that Sunday morning when you called us dumb and directionless and defenseless as sheep. Well, you know, you came back on Wednesday, so I'm just going to tell you, you're heathen. Amen. But I'm glad God had us in mind. I'm glad God had a plan. God, listen, from the foundation of the world, God had a plan for you. Isn't that something? God had a plan for the Gentiles. It's a wonderful thing, brethren. God didn't leave us out. Now, the kingdom's on hold. One day that message is going to be preached again. But it's going to be after the rapture of the church, because we're in the grace or the church dispensation of time. Now, the church is going up in the rapture. But time is going to go on. The tribulation period is going to begin. It's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. And there will be people saved, because there's going to be flaming evangelists. In particular, 2, but 144 are going to be sealed Jews. And they're going to be preaching the kingdom, the message, the gospel of the kingdom. And those, there are going to be people saved in the tribulation period. John said he saw a multitude of them that came out of great tribulation there in the book of the Revelation, you see. Now here, I've asked you to turn to Ephesians. Look at what he said in verse number 1. For this cause, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Now this is what we're talking about. God gave Paul the revelation, the mystery of the church age. See, the prophets didn't see, listen, When they look, they didn't see the church. The church is kind of a valley to the prophets. They didn't see the church. They saw the kingdom, the prophets. Peter spoke of that, right? You familiar where I'm speaking of? When Peter spoke of the prophets didn't see it. But Paul showed it, God showed it to Paul. The church. And when people do not rightly divide the word of truth, they start getting the nation of Israel and the church mixed up, and law and grace mixed up. You can't do that. That's why people are in confusion today, because they will not or do not rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer meeting, to pray one for another and to share our burdens one with another, and then to open up the word of God and teach and study, so that we would not be ashamed, but we can rightly divide the word of truth. What thus saith the Lord? What saith the scriptures? See, not what did you learn at some off-the-wall Bible study. What does the Bible say? Amen? Not what some denominational teacher or somebody out in left field say. What does God say about it? About dispensational truth. What does God say? Because that's going to help you to be able to determine what truth is and how and where truth goes as far as when God is dealing with what people. Look at further, if you would, in chapter number 3 of the book of Ephesians. Look at verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul was chosen as the apostle to the Gentiles to carry the message of grace, to begin this church or this dispensation of grace, this church age where people would be saved and added to the body. And we are added to the body through the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you hear that today, and people say, oh yeah, the baptism of the, I know what that's all about. My grandmother got that. She wiggled in the floor and they covered her up and she began to speak in tongues. That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I really don't know what that is, but that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When we got saved, when you got saved, the Spirit of God baptized, immersed, placed us into the body of Christ. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30, we are now members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. He is the head of the church, and we are the body. Now, that's very important that you remember that as we further our study tonight, okay? We are the body of Christ. Now, there's three things, and they all begin with B, that the Bible says that the church is, and they each one have different functions, and we'll not go into them tonight. But the Bible says, number one, we are the building. We are the building. Amen? We are God's building. We're God's building. Number two, we are God's body. We are God's body. Now, of that building, Christ is the foundation. And of that body, Christ is the head. But the Bible says we're also the bride. And of that bride, the Bible says that Christ is the bridegroom. And each one of these depicts and pictures who we are in Christ. Brethren, we're rich. You say, well, I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. If you're saved, you're rich. If you'll just for a moment, this is not in my message, but I just want to prove to you you're rich in case you need that proof. If you'll turn back into chapter number one of the book of Ephesians, the Bible says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in verse number 3. Ephesians 1 verse number 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. We've been blessed. We're rich. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Verse number 5 says, we've been predestined to be the adopted children by Jesus Christ. We're blessed. We're in the family of God. God is our Father. Our Father owns everything. Amen. So don't you forget that now. Tomorrow, when the devil tells you you need to hang your head low and walk with your head down, you remember, I have no reason to hold my head down. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to hold my head up, not in pride of myself, but because I'm a child of God. And I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. God has shown His favor on me. God's throne room of grace is open to me at any time. The middle wall partition has been broken down, brethren, and we can boldly go into the throne of His grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. And I hope you're, not only enjoying that, but I hope that you're utilizing that asset that God has given us and that access that we have through the blood of Jesus. Now, we go back to the book of Galatians and we find where Barnabas had gone on missionary journey. While they were out on the missionary journey, they were preaching this grace of God. After they had finished preaching this grace of God, there was a group of believers that who were converted Jews. Now, you do realize on the day of Pentecost, and you can look at this sometime in your own, and I think we went over this a couple of weeks ago, in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the men that were there, the people that were there, were Jews, devout men, right? Is that what the Bible says? Jews, devout men. And the church was Jewish, you see, Jewish, the church, in its infancy. Well, when the Jews would have Gentiles to come in, they would make them become proselytes. They would make them adapt to the Jewish way of doing things. And Paul said, well, God told me that to stop that. We're not going to do it that way anymore. This is the dispensation of grace. Now, I want to make this very clear before I go any further into the message tonight. The dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace doesn't determine how a person is saved. You understand that, right? I mean, you understand that it's always been of grace. and faith. So don't think, well, you know, the people in the dispensation of law kept the law and they got saved. No one's ever been saved by keeping the law, for by the deeds of the law, we'll read it right here in just a moment, shall no flesh be justified. By the way, no one's ever kept the law but one. And he was the end of the law of righteousness, Romans 10:4, to everyone that believeth. And that was Jesus Christ. Amen. So you see, if you broke one, just one law, you're guilty of breaking them all. Didn't James say that? James said that. So, you know, don't think that, well, you know, I'm a law keeper. Well, let me just go ahead and settle that over in chapter 3. I want you to notice what the Bible says in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. I know I'm just jumping around here, but listen, I want you to understand something. Law has never saved anyone. Law can't save. Now, I'll tell you what law can do. Law can tell you you're lost, but it can't save you. Now, I'm glad law shows me I'm lost. It's our schoolmaster. It can bring us to Christ, but it can't put us in Christ. You understand that? Not the law now. So just because someone was in the dispensation of law doesn't mean that they got to heaven by keeping the law. No one has ever made it to heaven by keeping the law, because no one has ever kept the law. No one. God never intended anyone to keep the law. The law was to show the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. The law was to teach us that we're sinners and that God has a penalty for sin. Now, notice what chapter 3 of the book of Galatians says. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, if there was not another verse in all the of Scripture in all the Bible, that would be good enough for me. No person is ever, and nor has ever, been justified by the deeds of the law in the sight of God. Look at verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You see, the law never was meant to save. And so here Paul was telling this group of people. Now, why is he telling? Let's go back. In chapter 1, there was a group of people. When Paul and Barnabas had completed their missionary journey, there's a group of people who came into several of the churches and said, hey, listen, all of you Gentile believers, we need y'all to come. We've got to circumcise you, and you've got to keep the law of Moses. Now, Paul took great exception to that. Now, I don't know what Paul's physical characteristics were, but something tells me he was a feisty individual. He was a fighter. Now, I don't mean he rolled up his sleeves, but Paul, he took a stand. Paul wasn't going to let this go. See, Paul took seriously the people that he had won to Christ. He counted them as people that God had given him to tutor and to mentor and to disciple, and he wasn't going to allow a group of people to come in and taint and twist, or the word he used in chapter 1 of Galatians in verse number 7 was pervert the teachings that he had given them. And so he went to war with them. And I want to talk to you about that just in our remaining time. Some things are worth going to war over. You do realize that. See, I found out a long time ago there's some things worth fighting for, brethren. I'm going to fight the devil for my family. And I pray to God every man in here would man up and fight the devil over his family. I'm not going to let the devil have my family by the grace of God. I have fought and I will continue to fight and I will continue to stand for my family. My faith, amen, my sheep, that you are the sheep, that my flock that God has given me. And I'm on your side, okay? So you may think, and the devil may try to make you think from time to time that the pastor is against you. No, the pastor's for you. And I'll tell you what Paul told these folks, I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth now. I'm your friend. That makes me your friend. You know, your enemy will just tell you what you want to hear, but your friend will tell you what you need to hear. Amen. And so I'm very grateful that God has put people like that in my life, and I pray to God that you would be very grateful for the people that God has put in your life that way. So there's some things worth fighting for, worth going to battle over. And I'm talking about in the prayer closet. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Paul, when he heard what had happened, let's read in Galatians and then we'll turn over to Acts 15. You've been holding your hand there for a while. It might be getting tired. Amen. We'll turn over to Acts 15 in just a moment. So here's what happened. In verse number 6 of Galatians chapter 1, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he went on to call them to witness. And he said, brethren, in verse number 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I'm not telling you what some man said or what some group of people come around. I'm telling you what God told me to preach to you. And that was the gospel of grace. He said, they're coming around trying to get you to do what's going to puff you up. I kept this law and I done this work to make them proud of themselves. He said, grace is humbling. Grace won't make you proud. Grace will make you humble. He went on to describe these people. And he said in verse number 17, after he got saved, in verse number 17 of chapter 1, he said, Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and I returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now this is important, so don't lose me. Verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Now watch this. Paul was not known of the churches there in Judea and Jerusalem, the Jewish churches. He'd been going around preaching to Gentiles. And so when these churches in Jerusalem heard of Paul, they said, who is Paul? You know, who? Peter we know. James, John, Paul. Who's Paul? This is what he's saying. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. He said, I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which was once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. They said, well, you know, we're glad that he got saved and we're glad that he's preaching, but you know, that really has nothing to do with us. And then this group of people, when Paul and Barnabas completed their rounds, they went back to Antioch. And he talks about it in chapter 2, verse 1. He said, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached to the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest any means I should run or had run in vain. There were some Jews who were saying, we don't like this Paul character. Now, you have your hand and I'm going to, in Acts 15, I'm going to pick up with what happened when Paul went to Jerusalem after they had come in Antioch. Acts 15, you're there? Paul and Barnabas had just completed a missionary journey. And they're in Antioch and they're reporting to the church at Antioch the things that had happened to them when they were out, you know, this kind of like on deputations, what we'd call it today, okay? They were out and they were church planning. And then they made their round and they come back to their home church and they're reporting to the church, all right? And when they got back, notice if you would in Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 1. Certain men which came down, if the latter part of chapter 14 says that Paul and Barnabas come back, look at verse 27 of chapter 14. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. This is Paul and Barnabas and their missionary team. All right. So here they were in their home church and they were saying, my, how God opened doors and Gentiles were getting saved and we planted churches. Well, here comes this group of believing Jews. Now, they were Jews who were saved. All right? Notice what it says in Acts 15, verse number 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, Now here's Paul and Barnabas and their missionary team been out preaching the gospel, fighting devils. Amen. You read. Preaching the gospel, fighting devils, people getting saved, planting churches. And then here comes these fellas, you know, from some Jewish council saying, now, brethren, you know, despite what this character Paul says, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Paul took great exception to that. He said, nah. Notice what Scripture says in verse number 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Now, I want you to underline no small dissension and disputation. What that means is Paul stood up and said, wait a minute. Because if you look over in chapter number 7, it says, and when there had been much disputing. Now, Paul was not going to back down from this. Paul wasn't going to back down that the gospel of grace was for the church dispensation, and that Jesus had given him this ministry to the Gentiles, and he wasn't backing off because some believing Jews wanted to mix law and grace. He said, we're not going to do that. It's grace alone. And they tried to work out a compromise. Say, well, you know, I feel like we can kind of do a little bit of both. And Paul said, no, we're not going to. That's not going to happen. And I'm going to show you in the book of Galatians here in a minute where Paul said, I didn't give them an inch. I didn't back up, not a little bit. Now, there's times that compromise is not a bad thing, okay? But when it comes to the Word of God, there's never a time to compromise. Amen. Never. And Paul said, I'm not going to compromise. The Lord Jesus gave me the message. He gave me the ministry to the Gentiles. And I'm not backing up on this. And I said, well, you know, maybe we can be this and that. And he said, nope. Not going to do that. Well, they sent them from Antioch up to Jerusalem, and they had like this church council. Maybe the most important church council meeting in the history of the world. Because there was going to be a disputation on, well, is it going to be law? Is it going to be grace? Is it going to be grace and then law? Is it going to be grace and law? What's it going to be? And Paul said, we're going to do what God said. God said it's grace plus nothing, minus nothing. And brethren, can I tell you, that's the message we preach. Grace plus nothing, minus nothing. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We're sustained by grace. We're restored by grace. Amen. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. And so what happened is when they got there, they heard these men. And notice what happens. Peter spoke up in verse number 7, and when there had been much disputing, and I'm in Acts 15, verse 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And of course he's talking about when God gave him the keys to the kingdom, and God gave him the open door to the Gentiles, and he sent him to the house of Cornelius. You can read about that in Acts chapter number 10. And it says here in verse number 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Now, watch. This is what he's saying about the law. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That's my question to those who would try to put us back under the yoke of bondage of the law. Our fathers, the fathers couldn't keep them. The children of Israel over and again said, all that the law has said, we will do. And yet not one time could they. They deceived themselves into believing that by keeping the law, they could gain favor with God. But all along, God just wanted them to believe the promise. And we're going to get into that a little later in the book of Galatians, where Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do concerning his son. So he looked ahead by faith in what God said he was going to do in Jesus. And that's how he became righteous. We look back by faith, believing all that God said He has done with His Son. So we're looking back at the cross. The Old Testament saints were looking forward to the cross, but it took the same faith, and that is exactly what happened at this council here. Did you get that? That's exactly what happened at this council. Peter said, listen to me. They're no different than we are. Amen. It's faith. It's faith. Then he said, in verse number 10 again, he said, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? And I like this. Don't miss verse number 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Amen. Amen. So don't you let anyone tell you now. Now listen to me. Don't you let anyone tell you. Well now, you can be saved if, and then they'll start telling you about a denominational teaching. Junk that. Junk that. Well, we've got a book that you can be saved if, no, you're saved by grace through faith, period. Amen. So I want to help you, please. There's so many erroneous teachers and teaching that are trying to put people, it's grace plus something. Grace, you know, then after you get saved by grace, now in order to stay saved, and they want to give you a list of duties or a list of things. No, same grace that saves me is keeping me. Amen. I am kept by the power of God through faith unto eternal life. And so I hope you'll understand that. Well, I don't know that I want to say any more other than after this was determined, James spoke up and he said, we're going to write letters to these churches and let them know it's grace. It's grace. And then it comes, if you'll come down in verse number 24, verse number 24, this group of people had gone out on their own. And though they were from the church, they were not approved of the church, and this is very important, okay? When people try to teach you something that's not biblical, they will always try to deceive you into believing that there's something that they're not. We had one come to our door the other day, and Sharon said, you know, this is kind of weird. And I had heard it. I was upstairs, and I heard someone at the door, and I, what were they help me out, honey. What were they? You told me, but I forgot. Yeah, but wasn't it, what were they trying to? Just trying to say, I don't know, like, you know, I'm just going to say this. It wasn't this, but people do. Well, you know, the free toaster or something. I don't know. You know, free coupon or something. It was Seventh Day Adventist. We threw it in the garbage. You say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Well, I did. Because I'm not under the law. Not under the law. Not the least bit interested in getting under the law. That's bondage. Okay? It's a key word in the book of Galatians. You'll find it about five or six times. Bondage, bondage, bondage. Hey, I was in bondage before I got saved. I don't want to be in bondage again, but did you know that if you get saved by grace and you let somebody bring you back under the law, you're going to be in bondage. So if you're saved now and you're in bondage, you better watch out. You're mixing something with grace that shouldn't be there. All right? So don't buy into that. All right? Then watch what these people did. And James exposed them in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. Look at verse 24. For as much, he said, we're going to send letters. You see, in verse number 23, they wrote letters. You see that in verse number 23? They wrote letters. All right? They sent letters to these churches and they wanted to clarify what was going on. And then verse number 24, James said, by the way, I want you to know, we didn't approve this. James and Peter and John cleared their name here because they wanted them to know, listen, we're pillars of the church. And we in no way said, though we had a different ministry than our beloved brother Paul, we're for him and he's for us and we have all come. We know what we're saved by. It was Peter who said back in chapter number 15 of the book of Acts in verse number 11, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. We're saved by grace, Peter said. You understand that? That was Peter, not Paul, who said that. Right? Everybody with me? You see what I'm saying? They know it's saved by grace. You do realize that there's people who won't tell you that they're putting you under the law. They'll just try to bring you under the law. Well, you've got to do this or you've got to do that. And we're going to talk about that. You know, if my wife has to keep a list of things that I give her to do every day to prove to me that she loves me, something's wrong with our love. And see, and I want you to know that. Keeping a list of things doesn't prove that love. Doing it proves love. Doing it. So here's what he said in verse number 24 of Acts 15. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you. Okay? Paul said they did. They troubled them and they perverted the gospel. With words subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. They took it upon themselves to go out from the church in Jerusalem and go out to Antioch and hook up with Paul and Barnabas and their missionary team and say, hey, fellas, you got to be circumcised and keep the law. You know, we're from the church at Jerusalem down there, and we've been sent up here to tell you that you got to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. And when Paul got there and he confronted them about it. Now, why did I just spend that time teaching you what we looked at? Because I want you to know there's some things worth confronting people about. There's some things worth standing up for. Amen. And someone starts telling you something that's not biblical, you, whoa, time out. Hold on now. That's not what the Bible says. And you tell them. You tell them. But in order to do that, you're going to have to study to show yourself approved. You're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. Keep coming to Sunday school. Like this young couple got saved, coming to Sunday school, coming to Wednesday night like you're doing. Learn what the Bible says so that when someone tries to subvert your mind, when someone tries to twist the teaching of the word of God, you can tell them, mm-mm. No. And let me tell you something. The devil can make it sound good, brethren. He takes a little truth, a little pinch of truth, and mixes it in error and tries to sell you a bill of goods. Don't you buy into that. I want to close with one other thing. If you'll turn back to the book of Galatians, we'll close with this tonight. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, when Paul had said he went up to Jerusalem, he said, I took Titus with me. Now Titus, if you read the book of Titus, you'll find that Titus was a Gentile, that it is very evident that Paul had won him to Christ. He calls him my son in the faith. And he was a Gentile. And he took him with him because when he went to Jerusalem to see if they would try to coerce and command him to be circumcised after the law of Moses. Now, Titus probably wasn't too excited about that, but Paul used him as a decoy, amen. And so the scripture says that in verse number 3, he said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, so they didn't do it, okay, because of the council. And I'm glad that they didn't. And I'm glad that we understand that it's not about keeping the law, all right? Now, there's a lot of people that are saved, and I want to try to bring this to a close tonight by helping you understand something. I am not saying the law is a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I want to show you something that Paul said, and I'm not skipping over these. I do want to get to verse number 4, though, because I want to show you why people... Now, if you ask me to explain why people do this, I don't know that I have an explanation, but I do want you to see verse 4. Look at it. It says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus that they might bring us into bondage. They're spying out your liberty. They're spying out our liberty. And they want to bring us into bondage. What's in that? And that phrase is repeated throughout the book of Galatians. They want you in bondage. Okay? They're false brethren. You might not think that sounds good, and you might not like the way it sounds, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Now, I want you to go over, and this is where we'll close tonight, and we'll pick up here next week. Look at verse 19. Now, we're not going to skip from verse 4 to 19. I'm going to lead up to this. A lot of people, when they go to Galatians chapter 2, they go right straight to verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Well, the law is why Paul said this verse of Scripture. He wanted us to understand that in order for him to be dead to the law and dead through the law, he had to be crucified with Christ, or else the law would still be alive to him and he to the law. Now, I want you to notice what he said in verse 19, and this is where we'll close tonight. And I want you to go home and meditate on this and study on it some, and we'll pick up here next week, the Lord willing. Okay? What is the purpose of the law? Does the law still have a purpose? Well, certainly it does. It's the Word of God. But notice what it says in verse number 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, there's three things, and I'm going to pray. Number one, he said, I am dead, look at it, through the law. You see that? I, through the law, am dead. But he also said, I'm dead to the law. So through the law, he was dead, and to the law, he's dead. Is that what the Bible says? But this is not what it says, and you need to really understand this. He did not say the law is dead. He did not say the law is dead. He said, I am dead through the law and to the law, but the law is not dead. And so here's what we're going to pick up next week, okay? How do you die? Through the law, to the law. Well, the next two verses of Scripture certainly explain how that can happen. All right? And we will next week as we study the Word of God together. Now, the law is God's Word. It's God's Word. But the purpose of God's law was not to convert our soul. You understand that. The law has never saved anyone. It has a role in bringing us to Christ. And we need to understand that role. And once we get saved, we live, listen, by our love for God, not because we want to keep some list of rules that we think is going to please God, because without faith, not the law, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You understand that? And so we'll see what the Bible says, because a lot of people, once they get saved, think, well, you know, if I keep the law as a Christian, then that will please God. Well, that's what we just read about that we were dealing with. They were people trying to get people who were saved to keep the law. And Paul said, that's not going to happen. Right? You with me? And perhaps you're there. You say, well, maybe there's someone here tonight. Say, preacher, I thought that even though I'm saved, that I ought to keep the law and that would please God. That would help me, you know, be a good saved person. Well, I want to teach you from the Bible why that is not so, and what God says and how we as believers please God and show our love to God. All right? All right, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Thank God for grace.